السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ود كثير من أهل الكتاب لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا حسدا من عند أنفسهم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, in our society, and I'm talking about the Muslim Ummah at large, we know that there are many diseases, there are many weaknesses. I'm talking about the diseases of the spiritual heart. Physical sickness, physical illness or diseases, these are common. The kuffar can have it, the believers can have it. The symptoms of cancer, the symptoms of sugar diabetes, the symptoms of other illnesses, whatever the kuffar will have, the same symptoms the believers will have. It's not that the symptoms are going to be different. The doctors will diagnose and they will say that this person is suffering from this disease or suffering from that disease. But the symptoms are going to be same. The medication is going to be the same. The surgery is going to be the same. It's not that if it's a believer, then the cardiologist performs some different kind of surgery on his heart. And if he's a disbeliever, then it is something different. Or that a person that's suffering from sugar diabetes, then he will be given some different kind of medicine if he's a believer, and some other kind of medicine if he's a disbeliever. So as far as the physical body is concerned, the symptoms are going to be same and the treatment is going to be the same. The difference is going to be in the rewards. That as far as the kuffar are concerned, the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, those who reject Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as the creator, then that sickness does not help them in any way to improve the condition of the spiritual life. It neither elevates their position, it is not a means of the forgiveness of their sins or some kind of stages in Jannat. And also that Allah ta'ala does not give them that sukoon, that itminan, that peace, that tranquility in that hardship or that sickness or that disease, as he gives to the one who has got true faith and true iman and true yaqeen in Allah ta'ala. So that is the difference. But when it comes to medication and when it comes to surgery, it is the same. So we are not talking about those diseases. We are talking about the diseases of the heart, like pride, anger, malice, greed, jealousy, envy. Now these type of diseases, they destroy the spirituality of the person. We are talking about the believers now. The disbelievers can also have these same sicknesses and they can have it in abundance. But because their kufr overcomes everything else, their kufr dominates everything else, no matter how much of jealousy they may have, no matter how much of pride they may have, in fact their lives, they revolve around these things. Pride, position of honor, etc. So no matter what kind of diseases they may have of the spiritual kind with regards to jealousy and malice and greed, etc. But because the kufr is overriding factor, so we are not going to look at these diseases. They must treat their kufr first. Because they've got kufr, they've got disbelief in Allah Ta'ala, they've got rejection of Allah Ta'ala, so they must treat that disease first. When they believe in Allah Ta'ala, then we will talk about the other diseases. But you and I who have believed in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as the creator, we have believed in Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. mercy unto all the worlds, who dearly loved his ummah, who desired that the ummah get the best in this world and in the akhirat. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has pinpointed what those diseases of the heart are, the spiritual diseases, and what is the cure for those diseases. Now there are many, and we have discussed it many times in our Jummah bayans and other bayans, but certain things have to be repeated. As I mentioned that I received once a call from someone who considered AIDS to be the disease of the time and said that it is so serious that every imam of every masjid, 5 times a day he should be speaking on AIDS. Every imam of every masjid, 5 times a day, after every namaz he must speak on AIDS. That shows that in the eye of that person, in the opinion of that person, that was a very major disease. And there's no doubt it is a disease and it needs that, there is a requirement and a need that people have the information. And as far as Muslims are concerned, we know what are the requirements, etc. But what I am emphasizing here is this, that every person considers a certain disease as major and says that everyone should be concerned about it and they should be informed about it and they should be given the treatment. So in the same way here, there are many, many diseases of the heart, but one disease is very rife and therefore there's a need to repeat what the Quran Sharif says, what the Hadith Sharif says with regards to this disease of the heart, which is jealousy. It is so rife in our community that those who are dealing with cases and problems and those who are dealing with individuals, with families and with societies, they will know that it has become so prevalent that hardly a person is free of this disease. Hardly a person. The Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala informs us, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. It is the heartfelt desire of the Ahl-e Kitab, many of them, that they cause you to return to kufr after you have accepted Islam, Iman. Then it is their desire that you must not remain a Muslim. You must not remain a believer in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That you must reject and shun belief in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, belief in the Quran Sharif, belief in Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of all the prophets. Their desire is that you must revert, you must go back to kufr. That is their desire. And why? Allah Ta'ala says, Hasadam min inde anfusihim. There's no other reason for it. The reason is that there's hasad, there's jealousy that's burning their hearts. Because they knew that their position is going to be affected. They enjoyed a certain kind of position in society, their rulers or their priests, their rabbis. Now that they will have to tell the people that the Quran Sharif has abrogated the other books and you have to believe now in the Quran Sharif as the last and the final word of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming now means that you have to believe in him as the last and the final messenger. And there's no salvation without following his teachings. So this was going to affect their position in society. And that is what was burning them up, position. That every person wants some kind of position. He is not prepared to swallow his pride or to say that I'm prepared to accept that which is haq and which is the truth. Why? Because the position is going to be affected. This is so common. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says that this was their desire. In other words, that those Muslims who will also entertain such kind of thoughts and ideas, or they too are going to follow the lifestyle of these Ahl-e Kitab, then they too will be rejected like them. Because that was their desire. If you look at the incident of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when they saw that his father had more love for him, so what did they plan? They said, take him, either kill him or throw him into some well. And then there's a long story which everyone knows. But that was again due to jealousy. Although some Mufassirin have said that their jealousy was because they felt the father, they should be making more khidmat of the father, and the father should be loving them more. But that is a different thing in commentaries of the Quranic verses. But here it was, the cause was jealousy. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala referred it to it as hasad, which was the cause of taking Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam away from his father and throwing him into the well. If you look at shaitan, when he was told to make sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, it was once again that same jealousy. Besides pride, he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تُوِينَ. You created me out of fire, created him out of dust. So the flames of fire, they rise high. So he should be making sajda to me. But there was also this jealousy, that with suddenly this creation from dust and from sand, and I must make sajda to him, and yet I made so much of ibadat. If you look at Habil and Qabil, Habil was killed by Qabil, the first murder that took place on earth. So Qabil, he killed Habil for what? Again, it was jealousy. And there the jealousy was over a woman. Habil was supposed to marry that woman according to the Sharia of the time. But Qabil wanted her because he felt that she was prettier. So again, it was the same jealousy. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ لَيَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَرُ. Jealousy is something that eats up the good deeds of a person just like fire eats up dry wood. If you have dry wood and you put fire, how it burns it to ashes. In the same way, good deeds we are doing, we're making namaz, we're keeping roza, giving zakat, we're giving charities, we're making hajj upon hajj and umrah upon umrah. But the hearts are filled with malice and jealousy. So they eat up all the good deeds, finish. That person thinks that I've accumulated a lot of good deeds, plentiful. When I go to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, I will have bundles and bundles and piles of good deeds. But in the meantime, jealousy has eaten up all those good deeds. Nothing is left there. It reminds me of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh gave Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hai Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh a bottle of honey. So because it was a gift from a sheikh of high quality honey, so he wrapped it up properly and he said, I'm going to open this bottle on Eid day. And then I'm going to distribute, give others, friends, whoever will come. Now he kept it and he forgot about it. After some time when he realized, so when he opened the packaging, big, big ants had got into the honey bottle and sucked up all the honey. There was nothing left inside there. Now so many different lessons he deduced from that incident. That there was so much in it, but when you opened, there was nothing inside there. The other lessons also he deduced, which I'm not discussing now. So the person will think that I've got plenty of good deeds, but when he goes there, there's nothing. As Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that the person who is jealous of someone else, he is actually an enemy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's distribution. He is an enemy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's distribution. Because who is it that decides that this person must get so much, this person must get so much? It is a decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. None of us in our mother's stomachs did we plan that what kind of color of face we are going to have, or what kind of features we are going to have, or what kind of knowledge we will be able to accumulate, or what kind of wealth we will be owning. None of us had any idea. Bring quickly. Leave it. So nobody has any knowledge of that. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who makes a decision. It is Allah ta'ala's decision. So now the person is an enemy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's decision. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this incident I mentioned it before too, that one occasion a person came with shoes in his hand He had made wuzu, water was still dripping from his beard, and he walked past. Just before that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had told the sahabas that very soon a person will pass by here who is will be an inmate of Jannat. He is going to go to Jannat, paradise. The person went past. The second day again the same thing happened. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, soon a person will pass by here, he is an inmate of Jannat. And it was the same person again. Third day the same thing. So that Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, he made some excuse to go and spend 3 nights with this person, with this sahabi. Just to see that what is that unique quality in him that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is foretelling that this person will go into Jannat. He thought probably he's staying awake the whole night in prayers, fasting every day, or doing something extraordinary. So he noticed that at night this person, whenever he turned, this sahabi, he made some zikr, Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, something which every sahabi used to do. And then he remained asleep, and the only thing he did was he got up for Fajr Salat, as everybody else gets up for Fajr Salat. There was nothing very different in his life. So then he mentioned it to him that I had just made an excuse to be with you for the 3 nights because I wanted to see what is that unique quality of yours that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet of Allah, is saying 3 times he mentioned that you are an inmate of Jannat. So he replied, there's nothing different from what you are doing. There's nothing different. It's the same thing that I do, make my namaz and do the other things that the other companions do. But then he said, yes, there is one thing, that whatever Allah Ta'ala blesses somebody with, I'm not jealous of it. It does not cause any kind of jealousy in my heart. In other words, I'm not an enemy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's distribution. That why did Allah Ta'ala give to so and so much wealth, so much knowledge? And this is very common amongst the people of the same profession, same business, same knowledge, that you will find the ulama will be jealous of ulama. An alim will not be jealous of a doctor who's got a very flourishing practice. Why should he be jealous of him? An alim will be jealous of another alim who has got more popularity or has got more people listening to him, has got more respect in the society, so he will be jealous of him. A principal of one institution will be jealous of another principal because he feels that that institution is making progress. So he will be jealous of that. A doctor will be jealous of another doctor. A surgeon will be jealous of another surgeon. Of course, there will be other jealousies too, but this will be predominant. In the same way, business people, if one person has got, for example, a hardware shop, and next to him a person opens a barber shop, so the person who's running the hardware shop will not be jealous of the barber shop. But if another person opens a hardware shop nearby, then jealousy will arise. If another person is opening a fabric shop and this person has got a fabric shop, or one person has got a grocery shop and the other person is opening a grocery shop, or one person has got a curtaining and the other person is opening a curtaining shop, then again this jealousy arises. So in other words, we are considering ourselves as Razzaq, that we are the ones who distribute risk and sustenance. Then sometimes there will be jealousy amongst people because of the women that are in their marriage. This person married someone and somebody else married that woman was prettier than the woman that he married. Now again there's jealousy. Or the person put proposal somewhere and somebody else went and put a proposal and that person's proposal was accepted. Again there's jealousy. So these type of things are eating up the good deeds of the person and the person is becoming empty and void of good deeds. Because we are jealous of what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving to them. Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Dabba ilaykum da'ul umame qablakum al-hasad wal-baghda. From what he said, the disease and the sickness of the ummats, of the nations of the past has come to you. It's coming to you. What is that? Hasad, jealousy and malice. And he said, this bughz, what it does is it shaves off. He said, I'm not saying it shaves off your hair or head. It shaves off your deen. Now the person is making namazas, rozas, zakat, hajj, umrahs, dini activities, zikr, tilawat, everything. But in the meantime, his deen is getting shaved off because of the same jealousy and malice. Once again, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh is very beautiful couplet. If we only keep that in front of us, then inshallah this sickness and this disease and this fire of jealousy will not burn up our hearts. Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz, kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you burning yourself in this, with this jealousy? Why are you proceeding towards the fire of Jahannam? Are you unhappy about the distribution of your Allah? Was Allah Ta'ala going to make mashwara with you, consult you, that who must I give, how much must I give? So why go to those people who are making ta'weezes and say, flatten this person, do away with this person, let him suffer all kinds of sickness and diseases and let him burn in hell. In the meantime, he's burning himself in hell. When ask those people who are making ta'weezes, what kind of people come to them and what their requests are. This person has opened a business next door to me, give me some kind of ta'weez that he goes flat, his business goes flat. This person married that woman whom I was supposed to marry, I proposed for her, they rejected, now give me some ta'weez that she gets cancer. These are the kind of requests they make. Why? Because they believe that this distribution, Allah Ta'ala should have consulted them and then distributed. So he says, Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Why are you burning yourself? Yes, to desire something which somebody else has been blessed with by making dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, you have blessed this person with this ni'mat, with that ni'mat, with that ni'mat, with this gift and that bounty. Ya Allah, bless me also with those bounties. Not that you are desiring that it must be snatched away from that person. Then that is ghibta, which is permissible. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has mentioned, La hasada illa ala isnain. Rajulun aatahu Allahu al-Qur'an fahuwa yaqumu bihi ana al-layli wa ana al-nahar. Wa rajulun aatahu Allahu malan fahuwa yunfiqu minhu ana al-layli wa ana al-nahar. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. But if you really want to have this ghibta and desire, then desire. Oh Allah, make me like that person whom you have blessed with the Quran Sharif. He's reading it, he's practicing upon it, he's propagating it, he's day and night, he's involved in the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So Ya Allah, make me like him. Or the person that you've given plenty of wealth, sometime he's spending for the poor, the needy, the orphan, the destitute, the masjid, the madrasa and all good causes. Ya Allah, also make me like him. I'm just giving you the meaning. So that is permissible. But in hasad and in jealousy, the person who is hasid, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I can make everybody happy. The only person that I cannot please is the one who is jealous. Why? Because he does not get satisfied until that ni'mat or that bounty of Allah ta'ala is snatched away from that person to whom it has been given. Until then he doesn't get satisfied. So how can you make him happy? So those who are dealing with individuals, family members, societies, and they are dealing with spiritual sicknesses and diseases, the mashayikh of our time, they know that so many people are writing and saying that this is something that we just cannot seem to solve. It's a problem, it's a sickness in us. So we say the simple solution is this, is that consider Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as the giver of all bounties and ni'mats. And by being jealous, we are harming ourselves and we are not harming that person. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has decided what He is going to give and to whom He is going to give. So no matter how much of jealousy we have, it is not going to really help. It's going to burn our own hearts. The person against whom we are jealous, he may not even know about it, but this person who is jealous, he is all the time in the fire of Jahannam. Every time he sees that the ni'mat is increasing on that person, if that jealousy is because of wealth, the moment he sees the wealth increasing, the jealousy increases. When he sees the customers increasing, the jealousy increases. And if it is because of knowledge and because of other reasons, whatever it may be, when he sees that those ni'mats are increasing, then his jealousy increases. That means that fire increases. So can that person ever be at ease and comfort? All his namaz, tahajjud, ishraq, chasht and awabin and charities and social work and welfare work and all that, can it ever give him peace and happiness when his fire is burning with, his heart is burning with jealousy? I will conclude on Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went to make kalam with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he saw a person in the shade of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's arsh. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Ya Allah, give me the name of this person who reached this stage that he is under the shade of your arsh." Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, "Don't worry about his name. Ask me what he did. What was his action?" His action was that he was not jealous of whatever ni'mat Allah ta'ala gave anybody. If that person has got plentiful, but he is indulging in sins, vices, evil, his wealth is taking him to the cinemas, theaters, casinos, zina, adultery, fornication, and prostitutes, then why should a person be jealous of that kind of wealth when it is going to lead him to hellfire? And if a person has got wealth and it's leading him to the masjid, to the madrasas, to charities and to assistance of poor and needy and destitutes, so then it's going to lead him to Jannat. So then why don't seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that same kind of ni'mat and say, "Ya Allah, just as you have blessed him with, bless me also with that kind of ni'mat so that I too can go to Jannat." But why desire that it must be snatched away? There's so much that can be said. The time is expired. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the understanding that just as we are desirous that there must be good deeds accumulated by means of zikr, tilawat, ibadat, charities and all other things, in the same way we must be concerned that it must not vanish, it must not disappear, it must not be stolen, it must not be hijacked. And one of the things that hijacks it is this jealousy. May Allah Ta'ala protect me too, protect you too, and protect the ummah from this serious disease. It's worse than cancer. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships of the entire ummah throughout the world, wherever they are suffering, wherever they are in difficulties, wherever they are in problems. Allah Ta'ala must remove the difficulties, hardships and problems and bless them with ease, with comfort, with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.